We'll read the word of the Lord together. The gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter number 10. I want to read verse number 42 in your hearing, the last verse of the chapter, verse number 42. And to try to share with you what God has laid on our heart for this meeting. Chapter 10 of the book of Matthew and verse 42. The word of the Lord says, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto these one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." You could be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. I want to preach, if God will help me this morning, for just a moment on this thought. Just a drink of water. Just a drink of water. Have you ever considered the value of something as simple as just a drink of water? I mean, over 2/3 of the face of the earth is covered with water. The scientists tell me that the human body is more than 60% water. I mean, health experts have long recommended that a person consume at least 8 cups of water every day in order to stay properly hydrated as they live in this world. Seems like it's something mighty simple, just the value of a simple cup of water, just a drink of water. Have you ever considered the value of something as simple as a drink of water? But my friend, as plentiful as water is in this day, my friend, much of our water is contaminated. They say when you go to another country to always be cautious about drinking the water. That's one of the first warnings that they'll give you anytime you go overseas or to any country. It's virtually anywhere besides here in the United States and many places here. Be careful about drinking the water. Even here in the U.S., the quality and purity of our water supplies have become a major concern. Water purifiers, filters, and bottled water is a phenomena of the past 20 years. Never would have heard tale of anything like that until the last 20 years or so. I mean, friend, it's kind of interesting. While we complain about paying $2 for a gallon of gasoline, people regularly and without complaint are paying 79 cents for a 20-ounce bottle of water. I mean, it's almost the height of wanton hypocrisy, isn't it? While we gripe about $2 a gallon for gasoline, the most plentiful resource on the face of the earth, we're paying 79 cents for 20 ounces of it. It's amazing. Have you ever thought about just the value of just a drink of water, just a cup of water, if you will? I mean, there seems to be more value today for a cup of water than what there used to be. When I was a boy, you'd go to a restaurant and you'd ask them, seemed like every restaurant before they would serve you anything. When you sat down, they brought you a menu and a cup of water. And then they may bring you something else to drink, but it was part of the deal. The minute you sat down, you got a menu and a cup of water. That doesn't happen anymore. And even when you order water, a lot of folks, instead of ordering a water to come out of the tap, they want to get a bottle of water to be served at their table. They're willing to pay $1.50 for a bottle of water to be served at their table with their meal because they're concerned about the quality of the water. And so the pure water and clean water and good water has come to be of great value in this day we're living in. And so I'm preaching about just a drink of water, or the value, if you will, of a cup of water this morning. Amen. And so may God help us to do that. In our text this morning that we read, we find the value of water for the little ones. The value of water for the little ones. Jesus said, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of the disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." This same passage is translated in Mark 9:41, and where Jesus says, "In the name of the disciple," that's defined in Mark 9:41 as "in my name, because you belong to Christ." That is what
what a disciple is, by the way. Someone who does what he does in the name of and because of Christ his Lord. And so when Jesus says you give it in the name of a disciple, that means in the name of Christ, because you belong to Christ as a follower of Christ. Just the simplest thing as giving a drink of water to a child in the name of the Lord will bring a reward from God. It's not always the big things that matter the most, Brother Matthew. Many times it's the simple things that we do that makes all the difference in the world. Do you remember in Matthew 25 when Jesus said at the last day he would separate the sheep from the goats, and unto the goats and unto the sheep he began to speak their judgment. And one, he said that he would say unto them, go you part from me, for I never knew you. He said unto them, said, when I was hungry you didn't feed me, when I was thirsty you gave me naught to drink, when I was naked you wouldn't clothe me, and when I was in prison you visited me not. And they said, where have we seen you this way that we might be able to give to you to drink and give to you to eat? He said, in the least in that you have not done it unto the least of these my brethren, you also have not done it unto me. And vice versa for those that he said that had seen him naked and fed and clothed him and hungry and fed him and thirsty and gave him to drink and in prison and had visited me. They said, where have we seen you this way? He said, in the land that you have done these things unto the least of these my brethren, so have you done them unto me. I'm going to tell you, our children are thirsty for a drink of water today, friend. It's not just a cup of water in the natural world, but they're thirsty for a drink of water. Isaiah 44:3 said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I'll pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thine offspring. There's water for our children. There's water for the little ones. But it's up to us to give them just a drink of water. Amen. Oh yes, our children need a drink of water. In the Word of God, standing water. Standing water is a likeness of the Word of God. And moving water is a likeness of the Spirit of God. I'll say our young'uns need both kinds of water. Amen. And they need a drink of water. It's up to us to give them some water. Listen, hey, if you don't give your children the water, the Word of God, and the witness of the Holy Ghost of God in your life, then you have, in my estimation, committed the greatest crime and the greatest sin you could ever commit against your children today, friend. Hey, and Jesus said a man would be better off to have a millstone tied around his neck and to be cast into the depths of the sea than to do harm to one of these little ones. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, we owe it to our children to give them just a drink of water. Just a drink of water. What is it going to take to get them some water? Lord, I didn't know this much in this first point. What's it going to take to get them some water? I remember old Rispa, who got out there with her boys that were dead because, my friend, of the sins of their father. And they were hanging from a tree there at the rock. And she spread her blanket out over the rock. And she beat the fowls off of them as the vultures came to try and destroy and eat their dead carcass. But the Bible said the king heard about it. Oh, thank God. If you'll take your children, friend, in the deadness of their sins and beat the vultures of the world off of them, and in prayer and fasting and beg God to help them, the king will hear about it today. Thank God. And the Bible said soon after the king heard about it, the rainy season came and the water began to fall. You know how to give your young'un some water? Have prayer and fasting. Fight the good fight of faith. The king will hear about it. The rain of the Holy Ghost will fall. And God will work in your family's lives. Amen. Just a drink of water this morning. We're talking about just a drink of water. In our text verse, we find water for the little ones. And then I want you to notice this morning, not only is there water for the little ones, but secondly, there is water for the lost. Water for the lost. Proverbs 25 and 25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Hey, what is the word gospel? The word gospel is good news. Good news. He said the good news from a far country, yonder in glory's world. It's just like a cup of cold water to the thirsty soul. There's water for the lost. I'm glad there's still enough to save every sinner and to change every life. They're full of joy. Shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation? That said, Isaiah 12 and 3. There's water for the lost. I thank God. Revelation 21, 6 said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. There's water for the lost. There's water for all the lost. There's water for everybody that's lost. And Jesus tasted death for every man, the scripture says. You're looking at a preacher that believes that this Bible teaches that Jesus died for everybody. Hey, you're not left out. Your children are not left out. Your lost loved ones are not left out. There's enough water to save.
There's water for you. There's water for your children. Promises to you and to your children, to them that's afar off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call, said the book of Acts chapter 2, I believe it is, in verse 39. And so, friend, the scripture says in Revelation 22 and 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There's a fountain, my friend, of water flowing for you, and there's a sound salvation for the lost in it. It's for all that'll come. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to every man that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Oh yes, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. Oh, he said, I'm so glad. I thank God for having counted me faithful and having put me in the ministry who was before a blasphemer. Oh yes. And he said, before did not know God, but I did it ignorantly, that his mercy hath abounded toward me. Woo! Not according to righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Oh yes. And the grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I praise his name, not being saved or redeemed by incorruptible things or by corruptible things such as a vain conversation received by your fathers, tradition received from your fathers, but by the precious word of God. Oh, praise his name, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, and to this condemnation, who will have all men that should come unto repentance, not that any should perish, but all men should come to repentance. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men cast likeness, but he is faithful toward us that believe. Well, I'm about ready to have one of them fits this morning. How about there's water for the lost? There's a plenty enough to save. God still forgiving sins, changing lives, and washing all the past away, and putting us in his family. There's water for the lost. If you're lost today, if you don't know the Lord, if you've never met God,
I'm glad to say there's room at the cross for you. Woo! Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, praise His name. There's water for the lost. Hallelujah. Water for the little ones, water for the lost. I'm preaching this evening or this morning about just a drink of water. There's water for the little ones, water for the lost. I want to say thirdly, there was water for the lady. Amen. There was water for the lady. John chapter number 4, Jesus said to His disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. And there He sat down on Jacob's well, and there was a woman coming, hey friend, coming with a pot and get ready to leave with a well. Amen. Oh yes. And she came down by that way and saw Jesus sitting there, and He asked of her a drink of water. And she said, sir, how is it that you, being a Jew, doth ask of me, a Samaritan, and give unto thee a drink of water? And the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. He said, lady, if you knew who I was, you'd ask of me and I'd give you a drink of living water. And she said, if I put it in you, I said, it'll be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, thank God. She said, where's this water coming from? How are you going to find this water? How you don't even have a pail to draw with? Oh, but He kept telling her about how the Spirit of God had come. She said, they tell us that the Messiah will come, but we worship in these mountains, and you worship down in Jerusalem. He said, my friend, He told her, He said, the time cometh, and now is, when you'll neither worship in these mountains nor in the Jerusalem, that they that worship me will worship in spirit and truth. And if God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And you know what she told Him in verse 15? The woman saith unto Him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You notice how personal this is. Not give us the water, and not we are thirsty. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. It's one thing for there to be water for the lost in general, friend, but when the water is your water, when it becomes a personal water, well, that's when business is about to pick up. When the water gets personal, give me this water that I thirst not. Make it real in my life. Move God inside of my soul and change my life and being. Well, thank God, there's water for the lady, not just the lost in general. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world. Isn't that right? Ephesians 5 says God loved the church. But Galatians 2:20 said He loved me and gave Himself for me. It becomes personal. And when it becomes personal, that's when you can do business with the Lord. You see, an intellectual understanding of the gospel says there's water for the lost. A proper understanding of the gospel says there's water for the little ones. But I'm going to tell you, friend, a personal understanding of the gospel and a visitation of the sweet Holy Ghost by way of conviction says there's water for me. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, thank God. It's enough that Jesus died for me. Listen, the song said, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. That's right. It's for me, for me, for me. We used to sing the song when I was just a lad of a boy. I'm the reason that He died. I'm the reason that He came. And He died just for me. When you come to realize that if you'd have been the only one, He'd have went to the cross for you. And He loved you that much. When He was on the cross, you were on His mind. Not just collectively or corporately, but individually you were on His mind. He looked down through the annals of time in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He said, Father, I pray for these that Thou hast given me, and they that shall come after them. And oh, my Father gives me are mine, he said. In John 6, and he that will come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. That means you today. That means you, friend. He's faithful just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He loves to hear your prayer. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to save your soul. He wants to change your life. Hallelujah in his name. There's water for you and for me. Hallelujah. Sir, give me this water. Well, I've seen him come pray and say, oh God, help Grandma and help Grandpa and help my family. I've seen him come pray and say, God, I want to quit smoking, quit drinking, quit cussing, quit beating my dog, quit setting the cat on fire. Whatever it is they've been doing, quit taking the Lord's name in vain. That's all right. That's all right. But brother, the one I love to hear is, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's saying that God will pick up business in your life and change you for time and eternity. You're not praying for others. You're not praying for symptoms. You're praying for yourself and your sin and the need of your life. Oh, God, give me this water that I may drink. I want to be saved. I want it in my life. Hey, friend, listen. The night I got saved, I wasn't thinking about nobody else. I wasn't thinking about mom or dad, brothers and sisters, and people down at the church. All I knew was I was on my way to hell, and I needed God to give me this water that I might not thirst anymore. I needed water. I needed forgiveness. I needed help. And I prayed, and God said just what I needed. There's water for the lady. There's water for you, individual. There's water for you. Sir, ma'am, son, daughter, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, there's water for you. I'm too young. Oh, no, there's water for the children. I'm too old. Oh, no, he'll hold her hand as over Death's River we go. Hey, man, I'm too far gone. This woman been married 5 times, second up with a man, said, never been married to, living like a dog, ashamed to even come to the well when everybody else had come. But Jesus gave her a well of water. There's water for you. There's water for you. There's water for you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, there's water for you. Amen. And you know what this water will do? This water will quench your thirst. It'll clean your life. It'll change your mindset. It'll alter your course. I mean, nothing in your life will be the same after you get a drink of this water. Amen. There's water for the little ones, water for the lost, water for the lady. I want to say this morning, there's water for the lonesome prophet. Water for the lonesome prophet. After an individual comes to know the Lord, he has a well of water. Jesus said it'll be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Said, you won't even have to come hither to draw again. Now, that didn't mean she never would get naturally thirsty again. Obviously, she would. But her soul was thirsty that day. She thought she was coming to the water to quench the thirst of her throat. But, my friend, she's coming to the well because of the thirst in her soul. Once you meet the Lord, you'll never have to come to God for water to quench the thirst in your soul again because He's already given you property rights to the well. Amen. Thank God. Left my water pot and went home with a well. Amen. You may get, my friend, in some dry places, some desert places, some barren places in life. But in the midst of those places, God can send water. In the midst of your desert, He can put an oasis. In the midst of your dry place, He can dig you a well. In the midst of your thirst, He'll give you a cup of water. Have you ever thought about the value of a cup of water? When you're lonely, this water. When you're thirsty, this water. When you're sad, this water. When you're hungry, this water. When you're all by yourself and can't find your way on and you think your money's all spent in the bag, the water's gone out of the bottle, you're lost, just about over. You think there's no way you can make it. And that there's water for your every need. For your every need.
1 Kings 17. There's a man by the name of Elijah that shows up and knocks on the king's door. Ahab comes to the door, takes one look at this crazy looking man that come out of the cave. And he wonders who he is, and he says, it don't matter who I am, but it matters who I'm representing. I come to tell you, the Lord told me to tell you that it ain't rained again till I say so. Ahab probably laughed at him, shut the door, went back and said, hey, Jesse, you ain't going to believe it. You just ain't going to believe this crazy dude to just come to the door. He's standing out there wrapped up in the craziest looking clothes I've ever seen in my life. Look like he's been in that cave up there for 6 months. He's some sort of kook of some kind. And he come walking up to the king's door and knocked on it and told me it wasn't raining again. He said, can you believe a fella would be crazy enough to do something like that? And Jesse said, well, what if it don't? He said, oh, don't take some nut like that seriously. He's crazy. It won't happen. Well, a month rocked on, 2 months rocked on, some time began to go by, and Ahab was thinking about that man that knocked on his door and said, it ain't raining again until I say so. 3.5 years went by and it didn't rain. Made a believer out of Ahab. Matter of fact, when Ahab finally caught up with Elijah, you know what he told him? He said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? All of our problems are because of you, Mr. Preacher Man. You're the one that's given us all the trouble we got. And Elijah said, oh no, I'm not the one troubling Israel. It's you and your father's house and your wickedness and your sins that's giving us trouble. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Well, the thing is, Brother David, if it don't rain on Israel and Elijah's living in Israel, that means it didn't rain on him either. And if everybody else is running out of water, then his are running out of water. Isn't that right? But in verse 6 of chapter 17, God told Elijah, said, go down to the brook Cherith, and I'll feed you there. By the way, if you run out of water, you're running out of food pretty soon. Because you're not growing no kind of food without water. Plant, animal, it doesn't make no difference. You don't have water, you don't have food. The Lord said, go down the brook Cherith, and I'll feed you there. In verse number 6, the Bible said that the ravens had come morning and evening and bring him pieces of meat. Just didn't bring him bread. They brought him meat. Hey, friend, thank God. Somebody said, hey, I don't always want to live on pintos and cornbread. I want to tell you, my life for the Lord ain't always been T-bone steak, but he sure has made biscuits taste awful good to me. Amen. The Lord will bring you just what you need and a little bit extra along the way. Right. He brought him some meat. The Bible said he did eat meat of the ravens, and he drank good water out of the brook. There's water for him. But the time came, the scripture said, in that same chapter in 1 Kings 17, the scripture said down in verse number 7 that the brook dried up. And so he couldn't drink of the brook no more. It dried up. Now what I do? He sat and waited on the word of the Lord, and the Lord said, go down to Zarephath. And said, you'll find a little widow woman there, and said, tell her to get you some water and some bread. He went down there, and that woman, she was fetching up 2 sticks, and she said, I'm going to build a fire. And I'm going to take that little handful of meal that I've got and a little cruise of oil. And so I've got just enough to make 1 cake left. After I make that cake, me and my boy's going to split it. And then both of us going to lay down and die. Because there ain't nothing else to eat or drink in this place. And old Elijah told her, says, well, said, that's fine. Just go first and make for me a cake of water. Make me a cake of bread and bring me a cup of water. And let me eat and drink also, then you and your boy. And now she thought there's not enough to go around for 2, much less 3. But if we're going to die anyway, might as well just go ahead and share. And then we'll all die together. And so she takes and she fixes a cake of bread and she brings old Elijah a cup of water. Hey, and God gives this lonesome prophet again food and water in the drought. And this little widow woman, he said to her, said, now he ate the whole cake, by the way, and drank the whole cup of water. She thinks that's the last she's got. And now this rude preacher that's coarse and doesn't have any manners and doesn't have any charisma, doesn't have any polish. He's just some old rough, rugged country preacher that keeps railing on sin. And I'm going to sound familiar. Some of you have heard that story before, haven't you? Amen. And said, and now
go for yourself and fix yourself a cake. I'll fix you and the boys some food and water. She must have went all the way back in the house thinking I done told you that I didn't have any more. There's nothing left to make a cake with. There's no water left to drink. But she reached down in the bottom of that old meal barrel thinking, well, maybe I can scrape around the sides and get just a little handful together. And she scooped it out and she had a cup full of meal. And she made a cake. And she poured it out and took the little cruise of oil hoping to get a drop or two. And turned it up and just enough poured out to make a cake. The next day reached down and scooped out another cup full and poured out the oil. And scooped out another cup full and poured out the oil. And the Bible said the meal never ran out. And the oil stayed in the bottle. And there's water for them to drink. Hallelujah. And God sustained them through the drought. The next chapter, Elijah said, all right, I've had enough, boys. It's time for a showdown. And he went hunting Ahab. I like that. There's so many timid preachers today. They'll preach real good and hard, long as what the crowd's there that agrees with them. But you let Dr. Smalfunga show up and Sister Broadmouth, you know. You let them show up and they know that they don't like him. Then he's going to preach a different sermon to make sure he don't ruffle their feathers.
Right.
Somebody said, preacher, you just rubbed the cat the wrong way. All the news I got for you is tell the cat to turn around. Amen. Just got to preach it straight, buddy. And he went hunting Elijah went hunting Ahab down. He wasn't running from him. He was running to him. I got something I got to tell you. It kind of reminds me of John the Baptist. When Herod shows up, somebody said, now, John, you better not say nothing about adultery. Don't say nothing about shacking up. Don't you say nothing about fornication. Because Herod's here, and he's been living with Philip, his brother. He's been living with Philip's wife, and the two of them's committing fornication and adultery. And if you say something about that, it'll make you mad. First thing John the Baptist did was jumped up on the stump and said, Herod, I'm glad, I'm tickled to death you're here. I've just been meaning to get down to your house and tell you it ain't right what you're doing. I live with your brother's wife. He wasn't scared. He went hunting down. Amen. And here Elijah is. He's hunting down Ahab. And he goes to tell him, said, you go ahead now. I've had enough. You go ahead and get all your boys that's graduated out of Jezebel Seminary. Get them up on top of the mountain of Carmel. We're going to have a showdown. If God be God, just let him be God. And if Baal be God, let him be God. We'll build us some altars. Pray for fire. The God that answers by fire will be God. Old prophets of Baal wept and wailed and cried. Cut themselves a stone for all day long till noonday. Leaped up on top of the altar and said, oh, Baal, send the fire. The fire never did come. Finally, old Elijah sitting up under a tree, picking his fingernails with a pocket knife, and they said, maybe your God's on a vacation, or maybe he's asleep. Maybe the battery on his hearing aid's gone a little bit low. Cry a little bit louder. Hey, friend, but that fire never came down. But you know what Elijah did? He said, if I'm going to start a fire, I need some water. Water. Amen. Now you don't start a fire of water. But old Elijah did. He said, get me these four barrels. And he said, go fill them up. And eventually he had 12 barrels. And poured them barrels out on top of the altar. On top of the sacrifice. On top of the wood. He dug a trench around the altar. And it filled up with water. And then Elijah began to pray and seek the face of God. Now water's at a shortage. But yet he just poured 12 barrels. A sacrifice and he's fixing to set it on fire. And he began to pray and God sent fire down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the altar, consumed the wood and lapped up the water that was in the trench. Hey friend, when he was thirsty for a touch of God, when he was longing for the fire of the Holy Ghost, he poured his water out and God sent fire. Woo! Bless his name. Somebody said, preacher, I don't have nothing left to pour out. I don't have nothing left to serve God with. I'm at the end of my rope. Oh, you've got water. There's still a well. There's still enough. Just keep serving God. God will meet your need. Well, this is not the end of the stories of Elijah with having to do with the water. After he gets done sending fire down, all the people say, the Lord, he is the God. Isn't that right? Then what did Elijah do? He jumped up and killed them. All them prophets of Baal. All those prophets of the grove. 850 in all. And best I can figure, most theologians believe that Elijah was probably around 60 years old at this point. And that rascal got up and killed all 850 of them prophets of Baal by himself. And then he took their old dead carcasses and he threw them in the water. There's a river close by and he took and threw all their dead carcasses in the river. How about that? The same river, that same river and the same water that will quench your thirst also give you victory over your demons and devils and enemies in life. Amen. He threw their carcasses in the river. Lester Olof called that a non-profit organization. He threw their bodies in the river. After he threw their bodies in the river, the Bible says, Jezebel heard tell of it, the queen. And she said, if the Lord liveth, by this day time tomorrow, you're going to be just like one of them prophets of Baal. I'm going to kill you and throw your carcass in the river. Now this man that had just come off of watching fire fall from heaven, been fed by ravens and the water and a widow, the most unlikely sources through the drought. This man that had faced the king and 850 prophets of Baal on the mountain of Carmel, which is supposed to be the home of Baal, on his home territory. This woman said, I'm going to have you killed. And he ran out in the wilderness, sat down up under the juniper tree, and said, Lord, it's too much for me. You know, sometimes we look at other people's lives. We look at Elijah here, and it seems like to me this is plumb silly. I mean, if I was going to be scared, I'd been scared when it was 851 to 1. 850 prophets and the king. To me, that's when I'd have been scared. But old Elijah, he wasn't scared then. But now, by the way, I skipped something. After he got done killing them prophets, he prayed for rain. And it came down. And he outrun a chariot 40 miles back to town, 60 years old. Outrun a chariot, and by the time the chariot got back, it was coming a good rain. He'll send water, won't he? And so, if I'd been going to be scared, though, I'd have been scared when it was 851 to 1. I wouldn't have been scared when it's just one woman. Of course, now there's a lot of men that's more scared of women than they are anything else. Maybe for good reason. It's 851 to 1, and he's not scared. Now it's one woman against him, and he's sitting under a juniper tree saying, Lord, I'd be better off dead. It's too much for me. I don't know how to handle this. Hey, some of you, man, a big burly rascal, you could beat the fire to him, but your little wife, 5'2 and 130 pounds, have you whopped around her little finger? Right. And the rest of us has got these little old kind of girls that's got us wrapped. Them knee-high kind. No, Elijah sitting up under the tree. The thing that gets you may not get me. We look at Elijah and say, man, I think I can handle that. Yeah, but could you handle 850 prophets? What trial, what tribulation it is that takes you down and brings you under may not be the same thing that affects me. But the devil knows and the Lord knows. Amen. Right. And that thing that's going to take you down will come your way. Right. And when it does, help will come your way. Amen. He sat down upon the juniper tree and he said, Lord, it's better for me to die than what it is to live. It's too much for me. He said, am I better than all my fathers? My grandfather and great-grandfather, they couldn't handle women either, I guess. He said, am I better than they were? And he laid down and sought to die. And the scripture says, while he was laying there asleep, that an angel come by his way and set for him on the fire a little cake of bread and a canteen of water and woke him up. And Elijah looked over there and he saw bread and there's water for him. He ate and he drank and he went back to sleep. And the Lord come back and sent the angel again. And you know what the angel said this time? The angel, instead of just letting him sleep, reached over and picked him on the side and said, get up now. Rise and eat and drink, for the journey is too great for thee. You know what he said? It's too much for me. The angel said, you know what, Elijah? You're right. That's why I'm here. With a cake in one hand, a canteen in the other. Well, your journey's too great for you. And the trials are too much for you. And you're in a dry and barren place. And you say, I just can't make it any further. And the Lord said, you're right. It's too much for you. It's too great for you. That's what I'm here for. Rise and eat. Rise and drink. There's water for the lonesome prophet. There's water for the thirsty. soul. There is water for the weary soldier. Would you rise and eat and drink? The journey is too great, but our Savior is enough. Tell my friend to make it down the last mile of this journey that we're traveling. Don't you quit the battle today. Tomorrow you might win the war. Don't you start walking on this rocky road today. Tomorrow this rocky road may turn to gold. You just keep serving God. You just keep walking for God. And there'll be water for the journey. I'm closing with this. There are two places in the Bible. We can talk about water all over the place now. In Genesis 1 and 2, the Spirit of God moved on the water. In Genesis 6, God destroyed the world with water. Yet Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In Genesis 24, Rebekah was confirmed as God's choice for a bride for Isaac because of her work with the water. Exodus 1, Pharaoh had all the Hebrew boys thrown into the water. Exodus 2, Moses was saved as his mother pushed him off in the water. Exodus 4, the first plague in Egypt was the loss of water as it turned into blood. In Exodus 14, the Israelites left Egypt passing through the parted waters of the Red Sea. In Joshua 4, the Israelites crossed the parted waters of the Jordan River to go into Canaan. I mean, waters all over the Word of God. But I want to close by showing you two places in the Bible where there was no water. No water. First of all, there was no water for our Lord. John 19, verse 28, after this, Jesus is hanging on the cross. After this, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. My parched lips are dry. My throat's sore. I've been through all night of beatings and whippings and scourgings, and carried that old rugged cross up this hill. Nails to his hands and his feet. His blood and all the hydration of his body pouring out in sweat down his face. And this is after in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sweat until his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. His body was dehydrated and dry. And Jesus said, I thirst. But there was no water for him. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on a hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he saith, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He created water. He owns all the waters of the universe. My friend, he's control over every sea, every river, every cloud. Yet he thirsted without the simplest luxury or benefit of just a little drink of water on the cross. All for you and for me. It was because of his thirst that you and I could have a drink of water. It's because of his doing without that we could receive a well of everlasting life. There was no water for our Lord. Secondly, and we're finishing, the only other place I find in the Bible of significance where we find no water was Luke chapter 16. There's no water from Lazarus. The rich man dies and goes to hell. And he sees Father Abraham, Lazarus, in Abraham's bosom. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. I don't even want a cup if I could just get one drop of water. Jesus talked about giving a cup of water to the little ones. The rich man said, I'd just give anything for one drop of water. Said, let him dip his finger in the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. One drop of water in hell would be priceless. Priceless. But there's not one drop of water to be found. What you better do today is get some water while the well's open. Better get some water while the well is open. Right now there's water for the thirsty, but there'll come a day when no water will be found. Would you come on with the song? I'm done. If you're in a barren or dry place with troubles and trials abounding, God will open your eyes to an oasis. He'll dig for you a well. If you'll call on God today, He'll give you a drink of water. But there'll come a time
If you reject our thirsty Savior on Calvary's cruel cross, then there'll be no water for you throughout eternity. Brother Jeff, I believe one of the reasons why that it was necessary for the Holy Ghost to put record for us in the Scripture concerning Christ's thirst on the cross. I know it's a fulfillment of prophecy, but the reason the prophecy and fulfillment is there is because he's also going to teach us of the lack of water in hell and how in hell there was no water to drink. And our Lord Jesus Christ took our hell at Calvary. He took the payment for sin in his own body on the tree and became separated from his Father so that you and I could go free. And there on the cross, he thirsted without a drop of water, that you and I would never have to spend eternity seeking for a drop that we could not ever find. He suffered our thirst on the cross so we could enjoy the abundance of the well of water that springs up into everlasting life. It's not just everlasting life, it's abundant life. There's water for the thirsty. If you're thirsty today, saved or lost, there's water for you. Would you come do business with God? Let Him pour water upon the thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. His blessing upon His seed and His power upon His seed, His blessing upon His offspring. Would you come today and let Him pour water on you and experience Him? Would you stand? You need to come do business with the Lord. I wonder, would you come? We're singing, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Would you come do business with God today? Would you come? Amen.